From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Well, as we reported a while back, the Sun Valley Film Festival has moved to December, and now they've announced their full lineup for this year's star-studded extravaganza. Also, Wicked is coming to the big screen, and it's time for the Oscars. Well, not time. It's just, you know, time for some of them. So here to explain all that and to help us figure out what to watch is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Gemma. I will try to explain because goodness knows this industry is confusing on a good day.
Oh, my goodness, right? Yep. Okay, well, let's start with the Sun Valley Film Festival.
Yes.
As we reported a couple weeks ago, they've decided to move the festival to December.
Yes.
So that's next month. Who's coming to the show this year?
Well, what's interesting is they announced it just a little while ago with their intention to do their first full-blown festival a year from now. In other words, next December. Mm-hmm. But they decided, no, well, let's see what we can do for this year. So they've been scrambling.
I bet.
But they've put together a really, really interesting slate. As you and I have talked about, the intention here is to be part of the award season conversation, right? And more than a few of the selections are going to be very much a part of that conversation. So we're going to start, as a matter of fact, Boise State Public Radio is co-sponsoring an event at the festival. We are going to start on Thursday night, December 5th, where I will be hosting an event of documentary nonfiction that are going to be films, short films that are going to be Oscar nominees. And these have been curated by The New Yorker. Now, we know The New Yorker as a magazine, but for the past several years, they've been producing documentaries. And in fact, they've acquired 17 Oscar nominations just in last few years. So they have reached out to us and they've said, hey, we're going to show maybe three or four of these. Can you come on stage and talk to these filmmakers? And it's like, yeah. So here's an inside secret, though. There is certainly a price for admission. But for our listeners and our listeners only, if they register on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org, they get in free.
Love that.
You will get in free, but you've got to do it through our website. So that's Thursday. And really quickly, the two other films, the feature films that I find to be very provocative. I don't know. Have you heard about this new film with, believe it or not, Pamela Anderson?
Yes.
Yes. The Last Showgirl.
Uh-huh.
And it is directed by Gia Coppola. And it has a wonderful supporting cast, including Jamie Lee Curtis and others. And so Pamela Anderson and Gia Coppola are coming in to show this film. And I got an advanced screening of it, and it is quite something. It really, I think, almost reinvents Pamela Anderson's career. And then I think the most controversial, if not the most provocative film of the year, and this is a film called The Substance, starring Demi Moore. And this is a film where some people have run from the theater because there are scenes in this film that are jaw-dropping. But we are going to show this film, and Demi Moore has agreed to do a coffee talk with me the following morning because this movie is going to require a conversation. But what a career she's had, too. So we're really going to go through her career and her attachment, right? I mean, she has been living in the Haley area for many, many years, right? I'm looking forward to that. There's also a documentary about artists in Ukraine during the war. And there's another documentary that I love called Blink, and it's the true story of a family whose children have been diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. Knowing that they are very slowly losing their eyesight, this family just rents a van, and they decide to see as much of the world as they can as their children's sight is deteriorating. It's a true story.
Right,
it's produced by National Geographic. It's called Blink. And when they reached out and said, would you like to join us on stage for this? And my heart skipped a beat. So this is really going to be quite a slate of films.
I tell you, George, I follow that family on social media. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And it's heartbreaking all at the same time.
So they've documented the whole thing. And Nat Geo, of course, does a wonderful job with their documentary team. So I'm really looking forward to this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to your conversation with Demi Moore.
Because yes.
This movie, The Substance, George.
Oh.
I mean, I can see why people are running in horror from it, but I also think it says so much about our culture and how we view women.
Yes, I will invite our listeners to look at the trailer. If you have seen the film, you know exactly what we're talking about. I saw the film. I'm still a loss for words to some degree, but I also find a conversation with Demi Moore. It's like, wow. Like all the way from the Brat Pack.
Yeah, I know.
Actually,
right?
She was on General Hospital, I remember, right, in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, all the way through the Brat Pack and then Charlie's Angels and you know, her marriage to Bruce Willis and then this film. And there's more than a few people talking about a possible Oscar nomination for her for this film.
Well, and really quickly before we move on,
yeah.
And then Pamela Anderson, I so agree with you that I am. It's been kind of a joy to see her reemerge because I think she was so pigeonholed, mm-hmm. not just by being like on Baywatch, but having been married, you know, to Tommy Lee and all of that. And it's just, it's refreshing to see her. And I love the fact that on the red carpets, she stopped wearing makeup.
Yes. The scrubbed moment, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's just, which then goes into the whole movie about the substance, really, if
exactly.
you think about that.
Yeah.
So what a great lineup, George, especially for them scrambling to put this together so quickly.
I agree. They just announced it this week, so it's fresh out of the oven. And by the way, it's going to be a more intimate setting, so the tickets are going to be limited for these. So that's all I'll say without pitching for it, but I will tell you that tickets will be limited for these events. Mm. But I think you want to be in the room, especially when you can be in the room. How many movies do we go to where we just want to talk about them? But you imagine having that conversation with the people who actually make the movie?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned buzz about Demi Moore, maybe an Oscar contender.
Yes.
So Oscars are in the spring, but we're in Oscar season right now.
We are. Just the other night, the Motion Picture Academy held their event, and by the way, all of the A-list actors were there, but this is where they hand out the honorary Oscars. So for the last few years, they've taken this out of the ceremony, and they've decided to make an entire evening of their special honorees, people who have made significant contributions. What's interesting, and they announced this a year ago, one of the honorees was Quincy Jones, who just passed away just days ago. So his family accepted on his behalf. One of the other nominees, by the way, was Richard Curtis, filmmaker, director, screenwriter, mostly screenwriter. Mm-hmm. He wrote Four Weddings and a Funeral, Love Actually, okay. Notting Hill, Bridget Jones' Diary. And here is Hugh Grant with his tribute the other night to Richard Curtis.
In the summer of 1992, as I was floundering between unwatchable Euro pudding films and unwatchable low-budget miniseries, I was absolutely flabbergasted when my then agent, a poisonous little madman, sent me a really good script. I thought there'd been a mistake. But he sent me this very good script, and it had a great part, and it was called Four Weddings and a Funeral. I went to the audition, and frankly, I was rather good. And it was lovely because the director, Mike Newell, liked me and wanted me, and the producer liked me and wanted me, and the money people wanted me. And the only person who didn't want me, and in fact took such an instant and violent dislike to me, that he did everything in his power to stop me getting the part, was the writer. And it is this who we are going to honor tonight.
So clearly it's an event that's not televised. I think it ought to be.
Right.
There have been some wonderful moments over the years. So this was just the other night. And Hugh Grant seems to be having a moment lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no,
leave it to him when he's off the chain.
Okay. So, George, I think I have seen more trailers, more social media about the movie Wicked.
Yeah.
And it is coming to the big screen. But I understand you might have a little behind the scenes for us.
I do. And if you notice and if you watch those trailers, there's very little of the music in the trailers, right? So the soundtrack, by the way, for Wicked will drop at midnight tonight.
Oh,
the
okay.
day that it so it's going to open Friday everywhere on the planet.
Yes.
It will, goodness knows how big this is going to be. And by the way, I need to remind folks, this is only going to be part one. And part one is nearly 3 hours.
Oh, right. I don't know about that, George. I don't know. That's a lot.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot for little kids. That said, if it's good, it's good. And every indication is that it's great. But what I have learned is that the director agreed to allow the leads, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, to actually sing in the moment. In other words, this is a musical where what you will hear has not been tracked in a studio.
Oh, wow.
Other than the orchestra. So they're actually singing on set. And in fact, these giant sets of Wicked have become sound stages. So here is a little behind the scenes clip of some of that where they talk about this opportunity. And then you're going to hear just a little bit of the beginning of Defying Gravity of them just singing in real time. And then the orchestra coming up behind them. So let's listen. This is a real treat.
3, 2, 1, action.
Popular. We chose to sing live because it meant that we would be further connected to the words we were saying.
You were, well, are.
And to each other.
From becoming popular.
Yeah.
Are.
There's no fight we cannot win. Just you and I defying gravity.
Whenever we would get to the end of an incredibly emotional day, Cynthia and I would refer to ourselves as husks, having given everything we've got.
So if you can't find me.
I think audiences would be very surprised about the experience they're going to get here. No one has ever seen this powerhouse like this before. It was like the best concert you could have ever attended at the best seats in the house.
Let's go!
Well, you do get goosebumps, right? And what's interesting is that the journey of Wicked has been rather twisted, if you will. When the book, the original book came out, the New York Times gave it a review. This is deadly dull.
Oh, right.
But someone thought it might make a good musical. And I saw this. I saw Wicked when it was out of town, before it came to Broadway, when they were still working out the kinks. Mm-hmm. I went to a production in San Francisco. It was awful. It was a mess. And in fact, the man who played the wizard in that, they fired him.
It
was a well-known actor, Robert Morris. And they said, no, this isn't going to work. And then there was a scene where Elphaba was flying on the broom. That wasn't going to work. Some of the songs didn't work. They dumped songs. They added songs. And then it went to Broadway. Audiences loved it. Critics were like, eh. And need we forget, you know, Wicked lost the Best Musical Tony. Right?
That's
it's
right.
Like, how is this possible? But audiences have loved Wicked, right?
Oh, so it's a whole thing.
Critics be damned. It, you know, the touring productions are as good as the Broadway show. When they come here to the Morrison Center, it blows the roof off. My sense is that it doesn't matter a lick what critics are going to say about this movie. This is going to be a hit based on audiences. And by the way, my guess is more than a few of us are going to be singing along when we see this movie. How can you not sing along to these songs?
Well, and I have to say, George, I mean, first off, the fact that they sing in real time like that,
right.
It makes it feel like a stage production.
What artists?
Right. And that's what makes, like, I think when you see musical theater live so magical.
Yep.
So the fact that they did that on the big screen, and the supporting cast. You've got Jeff Goldblum,
right.
And Jonathan Bailey.
Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
Yes.
I saw Wicked on the, 20 some years ago, mm-hmm. on the big screen, on the stage. I would see this movie.
I would absolutely see this movie. And I would just, you just kind of leave the world behind. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I envy anyone who will hear these songs for the first time because Gemma, do you remember hearing Define Gravity the first time?
Oh. Yes.
Or Popular.
Goosebumps. Or Popular.
Or, it's like your heart just skips a beat. It's a hit. Let's just call it a hit.
It already is a hit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, before we wrap up, George, you and I both, big fans of Idaho Public Television and their programming. So you wanted to talk about an upcoming special.
It is. It's the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra celebrating the 100th birthday of Henry Mancini. And Henry Mancini has passed, but this would have been his 100th birthday. They put together, by the way, it's hosted by Jeff Goldblum,
okay,
right, a star of Wicked, and one of the singers in this is Cynthia Erivo of Wicked. By the way, this is going to be on Idaho Public Television Friday, November 29th, so here is Cynthia Erivo singing a Henry Mancini classic, The Days of Wine and Roses. Here's just a little bit of it.
That introduced me to
she's probably bound for an Oscar for Wicked, but in the meantime, this is one of the many performances that will be next Friday, November 29th on Idaho Public Television. Some of the best songs ever written for film, Henry Mancini, and I found this clip of Cynthia Erivo, who is just, it's goosebumps. So highly recommend this show.
Well, George, as always, such a pleasure to have you joining us. We've been speaking with our very own resident movie critic, George Prentice, who spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition, talking about what to watch this weekend. Thanks, George.
Thanks, Gemma. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I can't wait to just spend the holidays with you in the coming weeks.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.